Well, folks, this morning, and it'll be afternoon in a few minutes, but it's still morning here on the Eastern Seaboard, and you know, I thought Pastor Lisa was going to preach my message. I really did. Sharon didn't know, so I know she didn't call her last night and give her some hints or give it away, so, but you'll know in a few minutes. She's already shook those trees a little bit, so but we'll go a little bit further here. Thank you, Pastor Lisa, for being able to be here stand here this morning from a little different vantage point from the piano. And I want to mention there's three things before I get started. I want to mention there's four things. The first of all, there's a young lady named Laurel with an L at the end, Laurel Wade, and she is leaving tomorrow to go to Budapest. Is that in Hungary? Is that right? Okay. And her dad is one of my best buddies from college, and he pastors in Ocala, Florida. She is a missionary associate. I got a newsletter Friday from her, and Simeon and Joy will like this term. She says that she is fully funded. Yes, fully funded, and she is going as a missionary associate there. She leaves tomorrow. So if you remember tomorrow, if it just crosses your mind, Laurel Wade, that she is able to travel and she will have a productive 2 years there. Second thing I want to mention is that today is March 1st, and I got out my handy-dandy church directory and prayer calendar, not calendar, but prayer.
Album.
Prayer what?
Album.
That's right. And I see on it that since there's no Abbots or Abercrombies or Ackerman in the church, that my name is the first on the list. So, and there's a little more than 30 names on the list. And I thought, and I didn't run this by Pastor Lisa, but she would think it was a great idea. Just so I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to try in the month of March to pray for each person each day. Not each person each day, but a person per day. Okay. And then if sometimes I'll have to double up a little bit to get everybody in. But that's a good idea for you too, okay? If you would like to do that, join me. You can either use your the grid that you've got, which is the directory, and or the album. They're basically the same. So join me. So today, you can start right now by praying for Jack, because it's March 1st and my name's there before Sharon's. Another thing I wanted to mention was that Pastor Lisa was talking about, you said something about crying and being joyful, and I thought about that great old song, "When God Dips His Love in My Heart." Anybody remember that? When God takes his pen, and there's a line in the chorus that says, "Sometimes it makes me laugh, and sometimes it makes me cry." But is that not true? When we think about what the Lord has done for us, there's joy within us that makes us laugh. Sometimes it makes us cry to remember all that he's done for us. And then the last thing that I remembered was that when you were talking about the last psalm that you read, and it just came to my mind, and y'all just humor me just a moment as I sing a little bit of, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. So the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever." Anybody, is that brand new to you? Anybody? Anybody remember singing scripture choruses? learning those. Boy, those were great, weren't they? Yes, and that's one that I remember, and it just always used to touch my heart, that last line that says, as the Lord is round about his people. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, and they are. So the Lord is round about his people, and we are that people. He's with us this morning. It's evident this morning that he has been with us, that he's been with us, that we are in his presence. Hallelujah. It's great to be there. We don't want to be in a place where we're not in his presence. We don't want to be somewhere where it's as dry as last week's cornbread, do we? No. It's the old story about the pastor that went out to the farmer. The farmer had been come to church. And the farmer had these excuses why he hadn't been coming. He says, well, you know, we had to plant the grain. And the pastor says, yes. And he says, then we had to harvest it. And he says, yes, I understand. He said, then says it's been raining. And the pastor says, oh, says, but it's always dry at church. And the man said, well, that's another reason. Well, it's not dry here. It's not dry here. We have, the water of life is flowing, is it not? Hallelujah. This morning, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy in one of his last letters here. And he's given Timothy some instructions about worship and things in the church. But before he does that, he says, in verse 18, Timothy, my son, I give you these instructions, or this instruction, in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Father, this morning, Lord, we have gathered in your name. Lord, we have come here, Lord, to practice the disciplines, Lord, of serving you, of singing to you, of praising you, of praying. Lord, even taking the offering of fellowship, of prayer for one another, all those things, the disciplines that we practice, Lord, that we do that are all good. And Lord, today we want to hear from you as well, Lord. And I just humbly, Lord, place myself here, Jesus, as best as I know how, God. And I ask you today to be with us through the remainder of this time together. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Fighting the good fight. Look at that adjective there. Not just fighting the fight, but fighting the good fight. People will fight for a lot of things. You know, you can't go to Dollar General sometimes without seeing some kind of drama. Or anywhere for that matter, or McDonald's, or seeing drama of people that are just ready to get upset over anything. We were going home from church last Sunday, just minding our own business. Sharon was driving. She was doing a good job. She was going the speed limit. She was going 35, not a mile under and not a mile over. And somebody just got behind us. And why people will, you know, I'm slow to pass. I mean, really, it takes a lot for me to pass somebody. But I mean, I will do it. I will pass if it's the right place. But I know that when there's a double yellow line, that you're not supposed to. It's dangerous, especially when there are roads coming out from the other side. And I think to myself, you know, the only speeding ticket that I've ever gotten in my life was a mile from where we live now. Is that not the truth, Sharon? It is. And I was, and I guess I deserved it. I was going 43 in a 25, but I was on a hill and I was coasting, Kathleen. So I had an excuse. I had an excuse of why I was speeding. But that's the only speed, not that I haven't deserved a lot more. I mean, don't, no, I'm not going to lead you to believe that I have never deserved, but as for a record, that's the only speeding ticket that I've ever got. And I tried to fight that too, but you know, I got there and the magistrate was behind and I just went ahead and paid it. But that's another whole story. But still, these people were getting upset with Sharon driving. Have y'all been there, done that? Where somebody just like, you know, you're going the speed limit, maybe going a little bit over, and it's not the place to be driving too fast. They were ready. We didn't pull over, of course, but you could still see that in their hearts and their minds, they were fighting. Well, I like to consider myself more of a peacemaker. You know, although I, you know, like any man, I can get stirred up about something. If something is really, I feel strong about. But Paul says here that is telling Timothy to fight the good fight in relation to his walk with the Lord. And in relation to his relationship with him. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the King James says to war a good warfare. What is a good warfare? It's the strategy to make the fight count. We're not just not fighting for the sake of fighting. We're fighting for our souls. Now, yes, we have salvation. We have grace. But there's a reason here, too, that Paul is writing to Timothy and saying that you still got to fight the good fight. You've still got to do your part. You still have a responsibility for your own walk with the Lord. We can't just blame it on everything else. We can't blame it on things that have happened to us. We can't blame it on what the church folk have done to us. We can't blame it on that we could have been, you know, born into a better family or a better situation. But we've got to realize that we've got to take some responsibility. If our walk with the Lord is really that important to us, then we've got to stand up and take some responsibility for that. I remember hearing people described when I was a child. I remember hearing them described, especially when they had passed away, that they were a good soldier for Christ. Now, what a wonderful way to describe somebody, that they were a soldier for the Lord. They didn't take it lightly. Well, what does that mean, that they were a good soldier? Well, there's some things that we have to remember. It takes strict discipline, staying focused, remembering our purpose, and not lagging. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Remember that great old song? You know, when I was a kid, I really didn't quite understand it. And for a reason so. When I was a child, our pastor's son was killed in Vietnam. And I thought they were singing about Jimmy, for some reason, about him being on the battlefield, you know, because I knew as a kid that he was in the war as that. But then I learned later and learned the lyrics to the song, and it talks about that I'm fighting for my Savior. The battle is most won. The trumpet will be sounding, the coming of the sun. The chorus says, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield. I promised him that I would do what? What's the next line? Would serve him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You're not going to get through this life living for the Lord if you're not willing to realize that you're in a battle. The devil is after your soul. The devil is after your family. The devil is after your future. He's after the things that matter to you. And you've got to stand up. You've got to be willing. Now, what kind of discipline that does it take? It takes discipline to know that we have to stay focused. Staying focused. Well, I thought about staying focused. And one thing that came to my mind when I really, really have to stay focused, and I'll do it here within 12 hours, I'll have to get on Lawrence Road. I'll have to get onto 85 from Lawrence Road. Anybody familiar with that intersection? The Lawrence Road, getting on, and you go up the clover leaf, you go up the ramp, and when you get up there, you've got a short space. Well, in the morning, probably about 6 o'clock, or this week sometimes, I'll be going up that ramp, and that traffic will be heavy. It will be heavy. And I know from the bottom that I've got to get focused, because I've got to try to get into the flow of traffic and hoping if there is somebody in that short lane that they will flash their lights to cue me to go ahead and get in there. I have to stay focused there. You ladies that are cooking, you know when you're reading a recipe, you've got to stay focused, right? Because you'll put the wrong thing in. Sharon made some cupcakes one day and she wasn't paying attention. And she put well, let's just put it like this. She and I, we were kind of bickering a little bit for something. You know, I'm just being honest. Y'all have never done that, I know. But we were bickering over a little something. And she was making cupcakes to take to work. Well, I still wasn't ashamed enough to ask her to let me lick the batter. You know, we had been bickering some, but I still said, I still want that batter. You know, you're making those for work. Well, I took a bite of it, and I thought that, you know how when you put spaghetti in a bowl, you know how something plastic, especially for the first few times, it'll have that little residue, and you know, the garlic or whatever, you'll kind of taste that there. And I said, I don't think I would take these to work. Well, if you don't like them, you don't have to. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. Okay, well, I should have just stopped right there. I should have just stopped, but I didn't. I was being a good soldier. And I said, no, seriously, you need to. And what she had done is they had made this garlic-flavored Wesson oil. And she had used that little bottle of Wesson. So those cupcakes had garlic in them. Or those, you know. But I said, no, I'm not going to let her bake these things and take them to work. But anyway, she was not focusing on what she was doing. It's the truth. So, but you've got to stay focused. I have to stay focused every Sunday morning. You know why? Because I remember when my mother taught me how to read hymns out of a hymn book. And how that the first line and then the second line, y'all remember that somebody had to teach you how to do that. Well, I have to stay focused very clearly because I may sing, I may start out on the right verse and then maybe look at the wrong line and sing the next one. You've probably noticed me do that sometimes. Well, if I sing the wrong one, y'all just sing whatever's up there, okay? And I'll catch up a little later. I'll sing it again, and I'll repeat that by myself. But still, it takes a matter. We have to stay focused on our walk with the Lord and our fight with Him. If you get in that left turning lane and that left green comes on, that arrow comes on, and it's green, and you don't see it, somebody's going to be giving you a friendly Southern toot behind you to let you know that it's time to move on. We've got to stay focused in what we're doing in our walk with the Lord. Not lagging behind. We can't lag. Soldiers can't lag, can they? You can't lag. You cannot lag. You've got to remember your purpose in what you're doing. Our purpose in serving the Lord has to always be at the front. We can't forget our purpose. That God has a purpose for us living for Him. It's more than just passing the days and the weeks. It's more than just each year. We're going to celebrate the new year. We're going to celebrate Valentine's. We're going to celebrate resurrection. We're going to celebrate the 4th of July and on and on and on. The cycles, which are good cycles to do. There's nothing wrong with that. But still, we have to focus on our purpose, that it's more than just going from spring to summer, from summer to fall, fall to winter, that the days that come, that we've got to find the purpose and live that purpose out. And sometimes it's not easy. It's not always easy to find exactly what you should be doing. There's many good things that we could be doing, but is it always the things that maybe fits us the best? And many times, in our, especially in working in church work, Pastor Lisa will know, anybody that's been involved in ministry, that many times you have to do things just because of a lack of somebody else doing it. And that's okay at a time, but isn't it great when somebody comes along and feels the burden for something and says, look, Pastor, I'll take this and I'll run with it. That's what you like, isn't it, Pastor Lisa? Where people say, look, I've got a burden for this. I've got a vision for this. To stand up and say, yes, I'll take it and you can depend on me to come through with it. Well, we have to be aware of the enemy. And knowing how to use our weaponry and being a part, this is what I like, being a part of brotherhood or sisterhood, being part of family. You know, it takes a little while when you go to a church. It kind of takes a little while to get kind of meshed in things, you know, to get to know people. But, I feel like the Sharon and I, for the most part, we've got to know you people very well. Come to, not just to like you, but come to love you. You know, and that takes a little time. But that's the time is well worth spent doing that. And when you have that brotherhood, isn't it nice to know that you're not fighting this battle alone? You know, I face some health issues. And most of us do. Most of us do, especially as we're getting a little older. We face things, don't we? And I'm not going to stand here and say that I'm glad that I'm glad I'm not the only one sick. Or I'm glad that I'm not the only one facing something. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But we still realize that there's people like us that are facing challenges, that are facing situations in their lives that they would prefer that it just wasn't like that, that it was something better. But we can't always just pick and choose the things that we go through, is it? We can't do that. We can't pick and choose the things that we go through. I look at my life, and I guess, and I'm not saying you this, I'm not telling you this to make you feel sad for me, but I'm just going to tell you this. If there's anything, my mother dying when I was 15 years old, I look back now and I realize the bigger impact that it had on me then. Now, as I look back, I see that more. Not that I was the youngest person. There's children much younger than me. This afternoon, somewhere, some teen or some child will have to say goodbye to their mother. It's the way it is. Other situations, medical situations, diagnoses, but yet it's encouraging to see how people react to them and to see that their faith in the Lord is unwavering. It may wiggle a little bit, and that's okay. We're human. It may wiggle a little bit, you know, because it's a little shaky at times. But yet you know that deep down your faith is in the Lord. You're trusting in Him, and you're counting on Him, and He will see you through. We got to fight that good fight. We have to stand. Fight the good fight, holding on to faith, clinging to your faith. I'm clinging to the Master's hand. Yes, I'm clinging to His hand. I'm holding on tight. I'm not letting go. I've started living for Jesus, and I don't plan to stop. And I have to remind myself of these things when I'm clinging to my faith. There's some things that I'm going to repeat here that I'm going to tell you, and I want you to take these to heart. You remind yourself of these things. You remind yourself that the Lord sees you, and He knows you. He knows what you're going through. He is aware of where you are and what's going on. The Lord is greater than anything. You hear that right now? He's bigger than anything you're going to face. He's bigger than that. He sees it. He knows it. He's in control. He's bigger than that. His love is greater than anything else. His love is going to get you through. His love will surround you, and His love will embrace you. His love, you will know His love. You will know that it's there. You will feel His presence. Hallelujah. His blood makes provision for you. His blood has made provision for your soul. His blood has made provision to forgive you of your sins. His blood has made provision to wash your soul clean. Because He shed His blood, because of the provision His blood has made for you, you don't have to die in your sin helpless. You don't have to die in your sin and meet Him alone. You meet Him knowing that you have accepted and you have accepted and embraced what Jesus has done for you and what His blood has done for you. Is the efficacy, is that the word I'm looking for? I'll have to look for that again. That's a 50-cent word that I think I'm using it right, but John says I am, and I'm going to trust John because he's smarter than me. So His mercy reaches us. You may feel like that His mercy isn't reaching you. You may feel like that your situation is just too much out of control. But His mercy will reach you. He is your firm foundation. Oh, when we sing that song, when we sing it, it just thrills me. When I read, and when we sing that part about rains came and winds blew, oh, it just stirs me. When we sing that part about, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. You think about that today, what you're going through, whatever the situation is, and you remember that today, that you can be, you relish, you take great, great comfort is the word I'm looking for, in knowing that you have been serving the Lord. You know, when we get a little age on us and we keep moving along, it's great to be able to look back and see, you know, Lord, you were faithful there. You were faithful there. I wasn't aware that you was working in that situation either, Lord, but you were protecting me at times when I didn't even know that I was being protected. I didn't know that there was danger ahead. I didn't know that there was problems that were coming upon me that I wasn't going to be able to get through on my own, but you were there and you were walking with me through them. He sees every tear, people. You cry those tears, those things that keep you awake at night, those things that bother you, those things that you think, well, this will never be different. The pain that you've maybe wrestling with today, the struggles that you're facing, the pain there, let me remind you that He sees your tears. He sees them. He knows them. He sees our tears. Hallelujah. He's returning for us. I said that too slow, didn't I? He is returning for us. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe that? Yes, the Lord is returning for us. And you know, our lives, if the Lord lets me live another 10 years, I'm 63. If I get to live another 20 or 30, I don't know. But still, let's just start out with 10. I used to say that if I never had another kidney stone, I would give 10 years of my life. Well, now I don't know that I've got 10 years to give. So I don't say that anymore. So, but still, I hope it's a long time, if ever again, that happens. We have to stand. When the day of evil comes, you have to stand. And you don't stand up just wiggly like a jellyfish. You stand firm. You stand firm. You stand with the knowledge of what you know, that the Lord is in control. We stand on the promises. Hallelujah. You know, when I worked that song into this morning service, I didn't know what I was going to be preaching about, really. But it just fits so well there. Standing on the promises that cannot fall. We're not standing on something flimsy, people. We're not standing on something that's going to break. We're not standing on something we're going to worry about not being there tomorrow. He's not going to be there next week. We are walking this walk, living for Jesus, knowing that our future is in His hands. I would hate to know that I was serving the Lord and He didn't know if He's going to be there. Of course, that's even preposterous to even think, because we know that He's always going to be there for us. He's going to be there. You know, I got to listen to a song. I'm going to confess something to you. I don't really wrestle with a song. Any of you ever remember an old pop song, and you listen to it and you want to go back and kind of listen to it from like yesteryear and see if you can kind of figure out the meaning to it again? Well, I got this song on my mind and I listened to it 3 or 4 times. It was a big hit in 1972. The song is titled Alone Again, Naturally. Anybody remember that song? It has an up-tempo beat. The beat, the music doesn't match the somberness of the song. And it's the writer, and it wasn't autobiographical, but the person in the song is facing a lot of things. He stood up, getting married. She didn't show up. He's contemplating taking his life. He's wondering if God is really there. Why did He desert me? He's wondering this. He talks about his mother losing her husband at 65 and wondering how she's going to make it. And in all these situations, he's saying that I'm alone again, naturally. And I got to thinking, and it really bothered me. It really bothered me really bad. But I got to thinking about that song. And I thought about my dad spending the last 6 or 7 years in a nursing home, basically because he couldn't walk. That was basically the reasons for that. And I thought to myself, you know, what if I outlive Sharon? What if I outlive her and I'm alone? What if the kids are living somewhere else and they can't really tend to me, you know? And I had to get that out of my spirit. I really had to get that out. Because I had to remember another great old, I remembered a great old song that we sung just a few months ago, that says, no, never alone. No, never alone. What did He promise? He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. And I told Sharon, I says, I've found the antidote to alone again, naturally. As a believer, I don't have to worry about that. The Lord's going to be with me. Hallelujah. You know, I just felt like that it was just a burden lifted off of me then that I had carried for a few days, because that song was rolling around in my mind You know, it was just, it would, every time I, and it's written so pretty musically that it's hard not to get out of your mind because of the music part of it. But I don't have to face this. I don't have to face whatever happens alone. I don't have to face it alone. I have somebody with me who shares my heavy load. I feel his presence with me every day. Hallelujah. Well, we have to be confident in our relationship to Jesus. Hebrews 11:6, one of my favorite scriptures. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What a promise there. Yes, without faith, we can't do it. We've got to have faith. As a soldier, we got to have faith. We cling to our faith. We determine to stay close to the Lord. This is what we do. How do we cling to our faith? We determine to stay close to him. We don't let life circumstances determine our attitudes. Now, folks, I can be a little bit bad about that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The weather sort of, if it's raining, I don't always feel so good spiritually. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I have to override it. You know what I'm talking about? With your walk with the Lord, you have to kind of put the override button. You have to hit that override. And you have to remember the weather has nothing to do with my relationship with him. Just because it's sunny outside and beautiful and 70 degrees, I'm going to serve the Lord when it's 25. And I'm going to feel good in my soul. It's not that I'm not serving him, but just the feeling good in my soul that I need. Can't let the weather determine those things. Well, and I can't let my emotions be in control. You know. A lot of things start to go wrong, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, when something tears up at home, you can pretty well manage it. But when it starts two and three things at the same time, you know what? When it's something with the house, something with the car, something with your health, and it's just like, okay, enough's enough, 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 enough. But the Lord's with us there too. Well, rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says, and Philippians 4:7, and I'm getting a little bit out of order here, but I will turn this around here. Worship the Lord every day. Worship him every day. I try to find a few minutes every day to sit down at the piano, Lisa. Just a few minutes. I can't do it every day, but just a few minutes. If I can just sit down for a few minutes, if I can just steal away and be with the Lord for a few minutes. And not that I have to have the piano, but it's sure nice to have it. It's nice to have it there. But sing a song to the Lord. Sing a song. He'll give you a new song every day. Sing a song. Find you a song that say, Lord, this is my song for the day, and I'm going to sing it. You say, well, I'm not a singer. Neither am I. But I still like to sing. And that's the main thing. Lift your voice. If you can't sing the words, read the words. Just read them. Read them out loud. Declare in your heart and your mind that you're going to determine with your voice, yes, with your voice, yes, the praises of the Lord. Yes. You're not going to let somebody else praise the Lord for you. You're going to determine in your heart that you're going to praise him. Yes. You're going to do that. Well, having a clear conscience. He also talks about here, fighting the good fight, holding on to faith, and having a good conscience. We had our cat, Benji. We had him for nearly 15 years. And I don't think that he understood this. But, you know, he was a cat. And sometimes he would get a little upset about things. And, you know, and I would tell him, you need to go in the corner and think about the way you've been acting. Sharon tells me that sometimes. She tells me, she says, you need to go sit and think about the way you've been acting. When I was a little boy, I remember one time I went through this spell, I don't know, this time in my life, probably about 5 years old, that I felt shame. And I remember one time my mother had fried out some hamburger patties, and she had put them on a paper towel, you know, on a plate, but there was a paper towel there to, I guess, absorb the grease. And so I decided, and you know, there were six in the family. There were six patties. But I just got me one. I knew better. And my mother, she's like, well, you know, I thought I had six. Well, you know, the mark is right there. You know, it's evident that somebody came along and got one. But, you know, she didn't push it any further. She just kind of let it go. And I remember a couple weeks later going and getting in her lap. And I mean, I was shamed. You know, I felt embarrassment. I had stolen something that wasn't mine. You know, I still got a patty. I don't know what she done, but she worked it out. There was still enough for everybody when it came time to eat dinner. But I don't know why that was, but thank the good Lord that we do have a conscience. And I know that there are some people that don't have a conscience, but I think that for the most part, that most human beings have a feeling of right and wrong. Whether they're serving the Lord or not, they have a feeling of right and wrong. They know that whether they've said something to hurt somebody. They know if they've taken something that wasn't theirs. They know that they've done something that will cause someone harm that will affect them for a long time. Well, it isn't pleasant, but it stings. It is. The Holy Spirit works within us now, and I don't want to get confused here. The Holy Spirit isn't our conscience, but He does work with our conscience. As Christians, when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with us, that maybe you need to repent of something, you need to go back and ask somebody to forgive you for something, you need to realize that something that you're doing is not pleasing to Him. Well, thank the Lord, thank Him, be glad that you don't have a conscience that isn't working. And I didn't know this, the scripture that talks about your conscience being, we don't want a seared conscience. You know, that's actually the same type of thing. Sharon and I have both had our noses cauterized for nosebleeds. Anybody done been through that? You've had to have your nose, and it, also they will do it for wounds. They will burn a place that will prevent it from doing it again, and it kind of becomes pain-free there. Well, we don't want our consciences to be seared where that we're not hearing what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. We don't want that. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. He is willing to cleanse our consciences. You know, the Lord wants to do a work in us. He wants to do a work in the way that we respond to Him and the way that we respond to each other, sinner and saint alike. We can't just treat our own Christian brothers good. We have to treat everyone good. Right? Because it's just what we do. Well, He talks about faith being shipwrecked. Acts 27 talks about Paul's most famous shipwreck, although he does mention in 1 or 2 Corinthians that he was shipwrecked again. Well, you know, most of us, if we, most of us, we think about shipwrecks, we think of two different incidents. We either think of the Titanic, or we think of Gilligan's Island. True? We think of either one of those two things. You know, the seriousness of the Titanic, or the silliness of Gilligan and the poor professor that did everything he could to get them off the island, but somehow another Gilligan would always manage to keep them there, wouldn't he? Well, we don't want our faith to be shipwrecked. I look at what will shipwreck your faith? Well, loving the things of the world more than Jesus will shipwreck your faith. Loving the things of this world, making them your priority, and not your relationship with Him, not your walk with Him, can shipwreck your faith. Neglecting God's Word, going weeks and weeks and weeks without touching God's Word, will shipwreck your faith. Trusting your feelings will shipwreck your faith. Relying on yourself, thinking that you've got it all under control, and me and Jesus got our own thing going. You know, and it's basically just you is what it is when people say that. It's basically you. That will shipwreck your faith. Refusing to hope. Refusing to have hope. Now, I'll tell you what, folks. I'm going to give you a personal story here. I really dealt, I think, last year with hope. It was a tough year for me as far as hope last year. You know, it wasn't so much my dad dying in October of 2024. I knew he was 92 years old. He'd live a long life. But having my second brother, not my first one, my first one and my second brother, having both of them, one die of colon cancer, one die of liver cancer. My mother dying of breast cancer. I started, you know, Sharon had to really get on to me. Because I started saying things, you know, it's like, well, am I next? I mean, what's in my future? One brother made it to 66, one brother made it to 72, I'm 63. Am I going to make 70? But I can't live like that. I refuse to live in fear that I could either get cancer or die from it. I just can't, you can't live in that frame of mind. You can't live without hope. You can't live without hope. Be encouraged today. Let me, 1 Samuel 30, the people spoke of stoning David. They spoke of stoning David. But you know what David did for himself? He encouraged, or he strengthened himself in the Lord. I may not always be able to call one of you up and let you encourage me. You ladies, I know y'all like to connect with each other, especially more than us men, and y'all send each other messages and encourage one another. But I may not always be able to do that. But you know what? There's times where even with you, you're going to have to encourage yourself. You're going to have to remind yourself again of the Lord's history with you. The good history that you have with Him. The good history that you have with Him. That He's walked with you and He's talked with you. And He's going to be there again. David strengthened himself. Barnabas says, Luke writes in Acts, talking about Barnabas, says, when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Hallelujah. Be an encourager. Don't be a discourager. Don't be that. Don't be a discourager. Be an encourager. We can make this. Our faith is not going to be shipwrecked. It's not going to be shipwrecked. No. We're going to hang in there. And we're going to keep living for the Lord like we've been doing. Whatever the situation comes, whatever the problems bring, whatever the years bring. Whatever this country, whatever it brings. We are going to, we're hanging in there. We've just made up our minds. We have determined. We have not. Has anybody changed their mind about serving the Lord in here? No, no, none of us. No, I haven't changed my mind about serving the Lord. He's been good to me. He's been there. He will continue to be there. I'm not walking a step without Him, Pastor Lisa. I don't want to walk a step without Him.